Hey, this is your host, Daphne Laforêt, and before we start with this week's episode, I really want to introduce you to our main partner for the podcast, Catalog. And I couldn't be more grateful and proud because what they have built is seriously a game changer. Catalog is a work hub that replaces a whole stack of tools with a single platform that centralizes your people, processes, and knowledge, and it's completely customizable. But what is next level is that it uses AI to mold instantly to the structure of your business, which means you can get started straight away. Using just a brief description, it builds a bespoke platform precisely configured to run your company operations all in a matter of seconds. It is structured and seamlessly connected, meaning work becomes visible, processes are automated, and collaboration is supercharged. So go ahead and get started at catalog.com. That's catalog with a Q, and let me know what you think.
Welcome to the Remote First podcast, produced by Modern Leaders. Every other Tuesday, listen in to hear from large or innovative companies enabling an equitable and distributed workplace experience.
Hey everyone, this week I am with Elena Thompson, a wonderful woman that I met at a conference in Berlin called Employer of the Future. She comes with an amazing experience on human design and how to leverage it so you can do what you want to do according to who you are and how you were designed to be. So welcome to the show, Lena.
Hi, Daphne. Good to connect with you again all the months later. So thank you for having me.
Yes, I was so happy to meet you there. You were like, you have to come on the podcast. Like, yes, you'll come on the podcast. And we made it work. So I'm really happy that you are coming on the show. I'm super curious to hear today your take about human design in the new world of work and how it impacts how we work in the digital world. For those of us who don't necessarily know what it is, can you tell us a bit more what it means and why it is important in today's digital workplace?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's actually talk about the workplace now, right? I think there's been a big shift in our mindsets energetically, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you name it, from how we used to work to how we work now. Everything has changed and we can't deny that. And I feel that a lot of people, a lot of organizations, they're still like adhering to this old models of working. If I do more, I'll be more productive. If I stuff more tasks into my days, I will be more successful. If I stay up later at night, others will recognize me. And this is a very outdated way of how we used to work. And at one stage, it worked, but it will no longer work anymore. I can obviously go into more like a scientific, metaphysical spot, but I'm going to keep it very simple and plain to say now it's all becoming about your energy. It's all becoming about who we are being rather than who we are doing, and getting into alignment between our being and what we're doing is crucial, not to just our health, but also to our productivity and success in a workplace. So we really need to start understanding ourselves deeper, not just like what I want, what makes me happy, what satisfies me, what car do I want to buy, but it's like, who am I really? How do I operate? Why do certain people make me feel angry? Or why do I react in the way I react to certain conditions or circumstances, and really start process of the self-inquiry? Because without that, we're going to be stuck in our old patterns, constantly chasing something and trying to control things that are outside of our control. So having said all that, you know, I mean,
I'm already thinking about it. I'm like, yes, yes. What about this? I'm already like thinking about how it is for me. What it makes me reflect about it already.
You're welcome to come on. Let's have a conversation.
I want you to share a bit more, like, what does it mean when you say human design?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been on this path, a thing of self-discovery for a few years. And initially, I didn't understand like what hits me. Like, what does it even mean to be in alignment with who I am? What does it mean to understand my energy? It's like, okay, I'll go and meditate. But it's, yeah, I feel great during the meditation. But after, I'm still the old me. And it's like, it was just a very, very slow and frustrating process. So when I came across human design, and I'll explain in a minute what it is, I literally felt like pieces of the puzzle started finally fitting in together. Because this human design is, you can also say like it's a system of differentiation. It helps you to understand yourself as who you truly are, not who you think you are, rather. Because there is a big difference between who we think we are, which is like layers of conditioning, beliefs, program, patterns that we are running, and who we truly are, that core essence, that soul. And I bet you, if you If like you meditate or you've got like a spiritual practice or even journal, if you actually sit down and you write, who am I truly? Who is it underneath all of this conditioning and programs and layers? Who is my soul? What does my soul really want? And you'll write it on a piece of paper, and then on another piece of paper, you write who I am now. And there's going to be a big mismatch. So there's like a duality. And what human design helps you to do is to balance those two parts of you. Because unless we get into balance, unless we really understand who we truly are, and then we start aligning more to that essence, that the core of our truth, it's really going to be like difficult. I mean, from work perspective, I guess, from career, to achieve anything in life without putting a lot of effort and arriving to the outcome being so burnt out and exhausted. So human design, it's a system of differentiation. It helps you to understand how energetically and genetically you are wired to make decisions, to communicate, to optimize your energy in the way that is uniquely correct for you.
And today's workplace setup, where we're all in different locations, we're not necessarily seeing each other, we don't necessarily feel everybody's vibes and energy. Do you feel like it makes it even more important to think about that?
Well, exactly. Because as I said, we are all very different people, right? And for some people, they're fine with it. They don't really need to feel the vibe of other people. They might be not even need to be on a Zoom call every day. Like for them, daytime alone is precious because they are like in their own energy and their creative flow. And when they have something to share, that's when they're like, hey guys, let's jump on the Zoom. I'm ready. But if you push these people, for example, to share something or to get on a Zoom while they're in a creative flow, it actually interrupts that. It disrupts their productivity. And then they will be on Zoom wishing they were doing something else. And then they will struggle to get back into that flow, right? While for other people, like having that social interaction is everything. And I know a lot of people struggling, like even with being 2-3 days at home, they maybe want to be more in the office. They want to connect with people on Zoom because that's how they find their clarity, by bouncing ideas, by hearing each other's back, almost like feeding off the energy. So there are so many different ways on how we can all fit together and come together in teams to create this like collaborations and cooperation. And that's all starts, I think, by understanding that, you know, your energetic blueprint, how you really best operate and show up so that you can be supportive, so that you can be compassionate, open-minded, and really be there obviously for yourself and also for your teammates.
And what is it for you? Like, how does it work for you? For example, as yourself, what's your energy for that is best for work?
It's interesting you ask, because I always thought I was a multitasker, and I always knew that when I multitask, my results are not really great. But yet it was, I just think I was conditioned to do like many different things. And especially when becoming a mom, and you know that, right? There's so many things you've got to juggle. And normally what I found is like whenever I focus on more than one thing, I started getting this like almost anxiety, like something up my neck goes into my head. And it's like, it just doesn't make me feel good. But I didn't understand that. I was just like, I need more things to do. So the way I work now is like I would only focus on one thing at a time. And this is how I best channel my energy. So I will do one project. And if my colleagues would want me to like on the Zoom, and on the Zoom they give me more tasks, I'm like, I need to prioritize this. Like, I can't do more than one thing at a time, because if I do, I end up making mistakes, and actually I lose interest because my energy goes everywhere. And sometimes I don't even go to the meetings, because if I'm doing something and I know that this meeting is not going to contribute exactly to what I need right now, I'm going to set it out and then trust that somebody can update me. Or most of the time, I don't even need to know what was discussed. So I think a lot of us attend meetings just to put the checkbox, like, yes, I went to that meeting, rather than it's like, you know what, I don't actually need to be in the meeting. Let me use 30 minutes to go and meditate. Let me go and really like maybe go for a walk, because on that walk, I can get the most inspiring idea that I'm going to come back and share with my colleagues and completely blow their minds, right? So we really need to get into the touch with our intuition. Do I absolutely have to do this? Do I have the energy for it? And that's a really, really important question to ask.
Yeah, I think that when I think about old human design, or how to accommodate our own, for example, our own way of working to other people's ways of working in a digital workplace, or even in general at office or whatever, let's take the location away, just the at work necessarily. Don't you think it's sometimes hard to be able to have an experience for everybody that is going to be considering everyone's different energy to optimize their energy? Like, how are people able to adjust their own energy to be able to fit with the team schedule, the team goals, everything, you know, if everybody stays their own individual energy needs or something like that to be able to be productive? Like, how do you think is the best way for everybody to be productive on their own and also the team to be able to continue to collaborate together?
In the team, you're not going to... So firstly, let's actually look different energy types. I think it might also help to explain that. So in human design, there are 5 different energy types. And I can't remember yours. We did look at it very briefly. But for example, generators. I'm a generator. So you get generators and manifesting generators. They make up 70% of population. So majority of people on a team will be those people, especially if it's a large team. I actually did a human design reading for a small team. There was like one generator and like 3 other types. So for example, generators are here literally to work. They're here to do the heavy lifting. They're the doers and the worker bees. So, but the key to their productivity, to their energy, is to do the work that they feel passionate and excited about. Now, obviously the question comes, right, if it's your business, you can chuck out things that you don't like doing, right? And like find someone else. In the office and a team, if I've got a list of tasks to do, well, what happens if I don't like them and I have to do them? So then, you know, right. So I know a lot of people like write their to-do lists for the day. So if you've got your to-do list, my suggestion always start with a thing that excites you the most. Because what happens then when you start with a thing that you feel most excited or at least you enjoy doing, straight away your energy goes up, right? So by the time you finish with that, you're like, what is the next thing that will energize me or I enjoy doing? And another thing is also to remember is, you know, when you work with people in a team, and especially like when a team where the communication is really encouraged, I bet you there's going to be something on your list you absolutely hate doing, but another person next to you really doesn't mind or they even enjoy doing. So I contract now to Morgan Stanley. And a couple of times I was in a situation where I had to do certain thing. For me, it's like documentation. It drains me. It absolutely drains me. But then speaking to my colleagues, like someone said, hey, I don't mind doing that. So we went and we swapped, right? I did her thing and she did my thing.
But that's good when you have that set up that you can do that.
But the thing is, I think if we start actually talking to each other and saying, hey, this is my list of tasks. What are you up to? This is one thing I completely hate doing. And it might just take a little bit of initial adjustment. But even if you like pass, like let's say a week goes by and you have this conversation, maybe 10, 15 minutes a day where people are actually consciously aware of what their strengths are, what they love doing, what they really don't like doing. And it will all slot into place because we already know that generators, a majority of people, they are here to work. And the more excited they are, the more energy they have. So those are the kind of people, when they feel excited about something, it's like they can go 24/7. So they're the doers. So whenever you need things to be really, really done, you would lean a lot on generators and manifesting generators. And especially manifesting generators, they are here to multitask. So they can actually juggle multiple things at once. That's one of the unique gifts. And I work sometimes with manifesting generators who like, oh, I probably shouldn't do too many things at the time. I'm doing too many things at the time. I skip steps and I make mistakes and I go back. I'm like, no, but that's how your energy flows. For them, if their heart, if their soul is in it, go and multitask, go and do many things. While generators, even though they're also here to do things, they really need to focus on one thing at a time. So if they're writing a project plan, they shouldn't really be dragged in all of the meetings and doing all of the other things. Let them finish that first. So even just understanding simple things like that, you know, because if the manifesting generator can go to the meeting and later update the generator, that's great because it means for an hour, 2 hours, generator was so productive and they finished the task rather than stretching it throughout the day and literally like draining them. We then get it to a different type that is called a manifestor. So manifestor's energy is all about initiating things. So they all start, they might get an idea, oh, this is how it will be really, really good for the team to work together. Let's call a meeting. Let me share with them my thoughts. So, and then it's almost like it's so crucial for them to learn how to delegate, because they move so fast, they're often like, I'm just going to finish all of it. But they often don't have the energy to finish things. So for them, it's really important to inform people saying, this is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to go. Off you go and run it. And then they will get another idea and another inspiration to start things. So it's every type works differently. But when I said, when I did this human design reading for that team, it was like, I think big realizations for them. Why are they running out of energy halfway through the day? Why is it somebody can multitask and juggle so many things and another person trying to keep up with them? And they're like drained. They can't do that.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, Daphne Laforêt, founder of Modern Leaders, a consulting collective enabling you to walk the talk and scale your company for the remote-first future. Our team comes from over a decade of distributed team leadership experience, where we work with organizations from 25 to 5,000 employees. And I am so excited to have put together this podcast to share with you everything that we've been learning over the years. This is the Remote First Podcast.
Yeah, and it makes me think about sometimes depending on who your manager is or your teammates is, if they are in different style than you or different manifestors or you're the other generator, you might not feel like good enough. For example, if they are very different than you, they have different expectation of what is good and what is good work. I mean, I'm curious to know, like, even for me, I feel like I think we didn't do my reading when we were together, because I don't even know what mine is. I don't know how you are calculating or deciding like what is your type. It makes me think about a lot about MBTI. I know my MBTI, but it seems to be very different how you are finding the type, because the way with like a birth, like the birthday, and it sounds a bit more spiritual to me even than this is more like how it seems from the outside. But yeah, I feel like if I was to know my type and it was accepted that, okay, this is how I work and this is how I do my best work because of X, Y, or Z, maybe then the quality of my work and the performance review would be different. Because if the person who's giving the performance review has a different idea of what is good performance and you actually know what your good performance is because you're another type, you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because your manager or whatever, your director, they will always be measuring their performance based on how they think you should perform, right? Mm-hmm. And we brought up a point, if you know who you are, there's going to be less self-judgment and be really good at criticizing and judging ourselves. Oh, they work later, they work harder, they get through more tasks, let me keep up with them. But then there's a couple of other types that didn't go through. So one of them is a projector, and projector's gift is actually to lead and guide others. They're not here to do things. They're not here to initiate things. So for them, I mean, they actually really, one of the gifts is to tweaking and improving processes. They bring a lot of efficiency into workplaces. And another one of the gifts is to seeing and unlocking potentials in other people. So that's the gift. This is where they should be, in the right place, in the right team, not doing things like running from one thing to another, like manifesting generators or initiating things. And I work with a lot of projectors who actually often say, look, I've got this great idea and I know it's going to be for benefit of all the team, but it's like nobody hears me. And that's because when we also communicate, and that brings me to a really important point, there is a difference between speaking and communicating, because when you really want to be heard, you need to be using your voice at a certain time in a certain place, especially for those who are not manifestors. Because even if you've got an amazing idea, but the timing isn't right, and others actually not even asking you for it, they're just not going to hear it. Not because they want to be mean, it's just not going to reach the level of awareness. So it's all about energy. And you can literally say exactly the same thing in response to somebody's question, and they were like, oh my gosh, why didn't you ever tell me about it? And you go, this is what I've been telling you guys for like a year, but nobody's been listening. It's all about timing.
But is it because of their energy? It's because of their... Okay. So like, for example, is this more likely, which type is more likely to not be heard?
Pretty much all of them. Manifestors are the only one who have that initiating energy. And manifestors only make about, I think, 8-9% of the world. For rest of us, it's all in response to something. So for example, I'll give you an example. If I go live and I speak on Instagram, nobody asks me for it. it's going to feel very flat to me, like really flat. But if you like invite me here, or if let's say I'm standing on a stage and I'm responding to people, I'm responding to the energy, the way I deliver my topic, it can be exactly the same thing I'm saying, but it's going to resonate with people on a very different level, right? For projectors, for example, they actually need physical invitation. So they're not even responding. They need somebody to recognize them. It's like someone coming to them and say, hey, we've got this meeting. We want you to share this idea you've been telling us about. So it's going to create a very different impact from the one if they just got up on a meeting and started talking. People would look at them, they may nod, but nothing is going to shift. But if they invite it, it's just going to be very different frequency, very different, because every word carries a frequency, right? Every word vibrates at a certain frequency. But when you don't speak, when you speak out of turn, when you just give this unsolicited advice, we call it, or I call it, whoever calls it, is just not going to resonate with people, or at least it's not going to make an impact it was meant to make. So for example, then if you know you're a projector, and for them, they are non-energy types. For them, they're actually most productive when they rest throughout the day. And what I mean by that is do one thing, ask yourself, do I have energy for something else? If not, maybe have a 10-minute nap, or maybe go for a little walk in between the meetings, right? Because when that happens, the energy goes up. And when the energy goes up, this is how productivity and creation goes up.
I'm trying to like connect this back to an experience that I had. I don't have anything that comes to my mind now, but it seems to me to be a very in-person feeling. How can you adapt to people the way they're working according to their type? If, for example, most of our day-to-day work is done written communication where we don't have the direct feedback from people. How do you see the different types through written words, for example, written communication? Have you thought about that part?
Yeah. So for example, if you're like a team lead, right? So I'm going back to this team because I was just there like a couple of weeks ago. So he's a generator. That's the director, right? And on his team, he's got a projector. She's a HR lead. So what it would look like in practical terms, instead of her saying to him, hey, I have an idea. This is my idea. This is how I think we should put processes into place. I think this person needs to be led this way. This person needs this thing. That's what HR, a lot of people do, right? They come up with those ideas. Instead of doing that, he can come up to her and say, look, tomorrow we're going to have a team call. I would love for you to come and share your idea with us. You see the difference? Now she's not initiating, but she's being invited into this experience. And I know that...
Like she would prefer that. She would prefer to be invited.
Yes.
Otherwise, she might not take the lead to make her point.
It's not even to make the point, but now because she's invited, the way she's going to speak is going to be with a different energy. Whereas before she'd stand up and she's like, this person is that, this person is that. Now she's invited. It literally shifts your energy, right? It's like more confidence. There is the words, as I said, every word, every emotion, every feeling has a vibration. This is why it's so important when we speak to choose the words that make us feel empowered.
But what if you're not speaking? What if you're not speaking with voice, but you're only collaborating online, written form?
Well, I'm not saying you can never make a suggestion, right? It's not like you can, of course, email your ideas. You can make a suggestion. You can do all of that. But what I'm saying is if you know that your words carry no meaning and nobody's taking an action of you, maybe a good idea would be is to email your manager and say, hey, can we have a team call? I would love something to share. And then your manager would say, yes, of course. Well, as an example, let's have a meeting and you can share. This is still an invitation. You're still responding to something, right? Instead of you say, hi, guys, this is my idea. I think this is going to be for the highest good of all. This is going to be perfect. Instead, you say to your manager, I feel like we could improve this and this. I would love to share in a meeting. Is it okay for you to get the meeting together and for me to share? So if you know you're a generator or you're a projector or a reflector, which is a different type, instead of, say, you pitching your idea, you create an opportunity for you to be invited. And when people start experimenting with it, it's like it literally blows their mind. It's a very one small subtle change, but all of a sudden you go from speaking in a meeting where people maybe nod and agree with you, but nothing shifts, to having this voice where people actually recognize you and recognize your ideas. Just that one little shift, but just by being aware of what you need, who you are, and how you operate.
And it's important for the leader of the team or something that we need to consider how everybody's energy is different to make sure everybody's heard, everybody has a place. to share their ideas according to how their type of personality or design is. So there was something that you mentioned to me previously about making decisions and be able to take the steps towards the goals instead of ruminating about a mistake that you make or doubting yourself. This is something that I've been, I think myself even experiencing, where when you are working, you don't have feel the vibe of people. You're just working your own little corner in your own little empty room with only you and yourself, and your team is all digital. It's difficult sometimes to not doubt yourself or not just ruminate, as you were saying. Can you share more about how can people make decisions and take steps towards the goals?
Of course. So firstly, we need to recognize what is actually past for. Past is only for learning. That's it. We only learn from our past. We don't go there to relive it, to re-experience it, to ruminate on it. It's like, what was the lesson and what did I learn? Great. And take this lesson with us now. That is all. That's all the past is for. As soon as you find yourself stuck in the past, it's like, is there a lesson in it? Or let's say, for example, you made this decision and you're like, crap, I regretted it because I didn't listen to my intuition. I'm just using it as an example. I've listened to opinions of others and I knew that was the wrong decision for me. It just didn't work out the way I wanted. What is the lesson? The lesson to trust myself more. That's it. There's nothing else to go there. There's nothing else to revisit and say, oh, I wish I didn't listen. They're bad people. Why did it? That's not a lesson. That's just being wasting your energy. That's all it's called. So what is the lesson I've learned from the past, right? So this is the only reason our past serves us. Well, the future is literally for trusting and having faith. And now the present moment, that's where all the magic happens. So once you become aware of the lessons that you've learned from the past and you don't get stuck in them, but instead it's like, well, if I knew I didn't trust myself last time, what is the lesson here? The lesson here is to trust myself a little bit more, right? And this is why I always say, when people say to me, well, how can I trust myself more if I made this mistake before and blah, blah, blah. My advice firstly is always to slow down. Because when we run from one meeting to next, when we're constantly working in a laptop, when we're putting so many things to do into our lives, we don't really connect to ourselves. And all of the wisdom, everything that we need to know lies within us. And I'm not saying never research, never gather data, never get facts. That's also all very important. But at the end of the day, when you've got all of this information, you still don't know. You think your mind thinks it doesn't know. I bet you know within you what the next right step is. And something a few weeks ago, it was really interesting. I actually shared a post about it on LinkedIn. Me and my colleagues, I mean, I'm a business analyst and I was having this decision we had to make. It was almost for 3 weeks. We literally were circling around the same problem, the same problem. And I got off the call and I'm like, okay, I'm going to jump on Google and research. And I went, no, hang on a second. Let me shut my laptop down and I'm going to sit on a couch and I'm just going to just slow down and relax and see what turns up. So initially my mind was going berserk. It's, what are you doing? You've got a next meeting, you know, get back to work, the usual stuff.
Like, you're lazy. Like, I feel like I tell myself that all the time when I'm just trying to take a break. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so lazy. I'm actually not giving myself everything I could do to succeed and everything. I cannot just stop and take time for myself.
Completely opposite is true. This is the biggest misconception. And this is why we're so burnt out. We're so tired. We're just so spinning in our own whatever reality that we are keep on recreating over and over. Just exactly because of what you said. I don't really have any guilt anymore. I sometimes sit on a couch for 2 hours. If that's what I want to do, that's what, in the middle of the workday, because I know the idea I will get would literally resolve all of our issues. So anyway, let me go back to this example. So I'm sitting on a couch and the message, and this is my thought that comes in, go for a walk. And I look outside and it's raining and I just tore ligaments on my knees. My knees are in pain. It's middle of the workday. I'm like, I don't want to go for a walk, but I know that voice within me, I know to trust it now. So I put my shoes on and I go for a walk and I literally walk maybe 5 minutes and I'm like, this pieces started all coming together. Not, this is not right. This is not, this is right. This is right. I walked for about 20 minutes. I was so excited. I was so like figuring things out, but with ease, there was none of that effort. I must do this. I must do this. It's like ding, 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 ding. Everything just came together. I wasn't noticing rain. I wasn't noticing my knees. I came home. I was so excited. I came up with 2 solutions. I messaged my colleagues and, guys, let's jump on a Zoom. And they were like, wow, what just happened, right? Not one, two solutions. And this is an example of how we can really trust ourselves. We have to slow down. We have to, because all of the wisdom, all of the answers are found in that silence, are found within us, because through the silence, we can access our subconscious mind. And that's where intuition comes from. And your subconscious mind, you know, everything since the time you were born, unless you're also into past lives, then it also comes from past lives. But if everything since the time you were born, everything gets stored in your subconscious, because our conscious mind's got very limited storage. And we have so much information, so much data, that the chances are that if you're stuck with something, you're looking for solutions, it's already there somewhere within you, right? It processes 27,000 times more data than your conscious mind is. So when you slow down, and the only way to access it is by slowing down, you can access all that information. So my suggestion, slow down. And of course, human design also helps us to understand how we experience that intuition, but we need to slow down first.
That's such a good insight. I try everybody around me that I see working so hard and not taking breaks and not even taking time to have a proper lunch break and even working from home, and people don't work less, they work more. They just keep going and not necessarily like slowing down just means like, yeah, close your laptop and just go use your brain and your body on something else during that day. I really resonate with this, and I'm trying so much to do it more. For me, but I guess you were saying, you know, your mom as well. And when there's family and work and also entrepreneurship, you kind of like, it's hard to find a space for you because you still feel like there's never enough time in your day for all the things that you want to do, you know?
So, you know, somebody once said to me, time is for taking. And the more you take time, the more free time you have. And I know it sounds completely counterintuitive, but it's true. And I can share from my personal experience that I take at least 2-3 hours a day for me. And I've got two businesses and a full-time job. Just me. No kids. Yeah. So I would always start my day with meditating. Then I'll take kids to schools. And I might have another, you know, I've got also offline business where I've got a franchise. We take people, we help people to get out and about. So it's a lot of driving. When my driver is off, I will step in and I will drive. But then in between, I'll come home and I will journal. I will light candles. I will just sit in silence, especially if something is bothering me. I'll connect to my feelings. Like, why am I feeling this? What am I processing? Like, what is this? So yeah, sometimes it's on a weekends, it's longer. Some days it's like 6-7 hours if I don't have kids over weekends. But obviously sometimes I feel so inspired to go and write a post on LinkedIn, then I will just do that. So it really varies. But I think the more in flow we are with our lives, the easier everything becomes. And I had 3 energetic burnouts when I started my business. I was working like a mad person. I never took weekends. I was like, go, go, go. Nothing was shifting. Nothing was moving. And I was putting more and more effort. And eventually I had 1 burnout, 2nd, and 3rd. And it was like, obviously universe is trying to tell me something. Let's see what it is.
Wow. I feel like we could have this conversation for a long time because I could still get into even more like the personal experience of each other. And then I think it's nice for listeners sometimes to also hear, you know, other personal experience. And it's really nice to hear a bit more about how you are experiencing things. And I think it's going to be easier for everybody listening that, you know, to understand, like maybe they will look more into human design. So is there a place that you would, before we finish our conversation, where people can go to learn more about human design and what is their type and how they can maybe leverage better for their own ways of working?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a free website they can go called mybodygraph.com. And all you need to do is to put in your date, time, and place of birth. So a lot of people don't know the time or approximate time. And I mean, it's just like for you to get like a general understanding about your human design type. It's fine if you're like an hour or two off. I've played around with it. It makes me very subtle changes. Well, if you want to do in-depth reading, it's big, but just to get your type and even how your authority. So your authority shows you how you are genetically wired to make decisions. That should be fine. And then there's so much information on YouTube also, you know, and yeah. And also readings available. So it depends how deep they want to go with it.
That's awesome. And how can people work with you? What do you do and how can people reach out to you?
My passion is to speak, as you know. So I speak at corporate events, at also company meetings. And I also do like team trainings where we work with, I prefer to work with small teams because then it's more intimate and more in-depth experience where we look at the human design types, how they interact with each other in a workplace. Like what we spoke about today, you know, because every person is so unique in the way they learn and the way they express themselves, in the way they process information. So it's just when you understand that within your teams, there is no room for judgment, for blame, for shame, for competing, comparing. It just creates this like culture where you can be who you are and have the right support. So I run like leadership training courses like that.
That's awesome. So where can they reach out to you? Is there a website or on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn. Perfect. Yeah, LinkedIn is the best.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining on the podcast. And it was so nice to hear from you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to Remote First. You can find all links and show notes in the episode description. And if you found value in this show, we'd love your rating on your listening app of choice. Thank you for being here. See you next time.